What is up? It's Tuesday night. Time for episode 15 of Inside the Game. I am DJ Wheat. That music is really loud. And I am joined by arguably three of the most... Wait. Make it four because Mini Wheat just came over here. Four of the most handsome men in esports right here. We got Pain User, Idra, In Control, and we even got Mini Wheat. What's up, dudes?
Oh, Mini Wheat.
He's like, sup.
It's like anytime I don't actually have anything for the show, you just default to this thing right here. And it's like instant, like, oh, even Anna came out. See? Like that.
It's my Mini Control.
It takes Mini, and then there it is. What's up? All right, thanks, Mini Wheat. Oh, Mini Wheat. Mini Wheat reached the Bronze League last night.
Oh my god, all your cams just froze. Skype is breaking.
No, Skype, don't break.
No, it's all fine for us.
He lost his bottom two teeth.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I want
that was for losing to a Protoss, and I punched him right in the mouth. Popped two of those things out like that, dude.
Mini Wheat now knows not to talk
done.
Back.
Done.
That's good StarCraft 2 reinforcement. Every time you lose to a toss,
you
get socked in the face.
You know after I lose, I don't want to hear about your school.
Yes.
That's how me and Natty ass train. We just beat the crap out of each other.
Just punch each other. There might be some interesting incentive there. We don't condone it here on Inside the Game, but just think about it a little bit, you know? How about if I beat you, I get to punch you as hard as I possibly can. It's like people will play until the last Zergling has fallen. He will not give up.
I don't know. Then nobody would play against Jeff, though. That's like an unfair advantage.
There's
right
some
there.
Truth to that. Can you dodge in this game? You know, like someone could try to hit you as hard as they can, but maybe you just like... You know,
it'd be pretty unfair for me if you had to stand where the actual game was played, because I think I could probably hit most people from across the MLG tables.
You probably could. That's why those rules are not enforced. Why they're not enforced. So, what's up?
Has anyone ever been reprimanded for conduct at a tournament yet?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, wait a second. What's
no,
that?
No,
mean?
Not me. No.
Oh, okay.
Tell me at the last one.
Okay. Oh, really?
Oh,
for what?
Really?
Oh, I'm sure.
Because like I was
Did
there
you
for that.
Out?
I don't know. Dude.
Wait, what happened? Tell
I don't
me.
Know. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if we're supposed to be talking about.
Really?
I mean, I just know because it's public, but.
Well, if it's public,
too late
then
now.
Is it
I don't
public,
know about
though?
It. You need to tell me the story.
I think it's like happened in the middle of the gaming area. I wasn't there. I just heard.
I was like.
I think Taylor should describe it.
Oh, should I?
Yeah.
Will someone please clue me in and the other billion people that are watching it?
I don't know exactly what happened. Well, that's not true. I was with
was
him.
There physical violence?
No, like,
was there
we
some
were
shit talking?
Playing an MLG and. We didn't have a game between, like, 3 and, like, 8 or 9. So, like, we were going to go out and, like, grab a beer or something. And I had, like, one beer at, like, 3. And then I went and took a nap in my hotel room. And I don't know what happened after that. But I think somebody, like, in-base hatchery proxied Kelby. And he got pretty pissed off. Said a few choice words. And I don't know what the refs did, but... It couldn't have been good. I didn't know that there was even any aftermath. I just heard about, like, the actual...
I feel like there's something that you guys aren't telling me.
Well, he, like, stood up on his chair while he was yelling at the guy.
Oh, God.
Really?
That's what I've heard.
And was he, like...
This is all from machines, so it's all suspect, but yeah.
Was he, like throwing racial slurs, or was it just like, fuck you, you fucking fuck, you know?
I think it was more like, F you, you F and F and B, F...
Okay.
Something like that. Who knows?
All right. Jeff, you look unimpressed.
I'd be pissed too. I mean,
like that kind of stuff. We're talking about the Kelby incident and the.
Well, I don't know. I had no idea about it. So.
There's a few of those things. I know that Major got in trouble for, I guess, name calling. Want to be cool inside the player area because want to be cool offensive GG'd him. Oh. That one I can understand a little bit more. I'd probably throw my shoe at want to be cool. but, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you just got to be careful about because, like we've always been talking about, like StarCraft 2 is going in the severely professional direction. So if you show up drunk to a match, or if you get up and stand on a chair and yell at somebody, it doesn't just end there. It's not like people are like, wow, what a weirdo, but he's just having fun. That's his artistic expression. No, it's sponsors getting bad press, teams looking bad, players getting, you know, in trouble. So
sure.
When I hear about this stuff, I go, oh, that's a shame. I can understand it. I'm an emotional guy, obviously, you know, so if stuff like that were to happen to me, I might respond.
It kind of makes sense. Kind,
if I didn't have so much responsibility, like, I can't do that, and I wish more people thought that way.
I think a lot of it, for Kelby at least, well, I know for me, like, just going out and grabbing a beer is great just for, like, taking the edge off. If I have, like, a 7-hour break, like, I would love to do that. But I think for Kelby, he gets, like, really, really, really tense and nervous for his games. So I think it's just, like, anything he can do to avoid that state. And I'm not condoning, like, you know, getting drunk and playing a match or anything like that. But I think a lot of it has to do with him trying to avoid that state at all costs. At least that's what I've seen from him in the past. So,
well, everyone deals with it a little bit differently. But, I mean, to go back to your original question as far as being reprimanded, I can only think of really one instance in my entire career where I have actually seen someone, like, kicked out of an event because of, like, trying to inflict
CPL?
Physical. No.
Because that happened at CPL once.
Did it?
Oh, yeah.
At ESWC 2005, maybe 2004, there was an incident that got someone kicked off, and it was probably the most hilarious thing that I'd ever witnessed.
You have to tell the story.
Okay,
now.
So, so Infinite from the clan Kaizen got into a scuffle with a guy that you all know named James Too Good Harding. This is, yes,
scuffle
back
is basketball players.
No.
Actually, more like a scuffle where Infinite tried to jump kick Too Good, and I'm pretty sure I recall Too Good kind of tall.
I guess.
Grabbing his shirt and just kind of like popping him one time like that, and then it pretty much being over. The beauty of it, right?
And then a jump kick.
I don't
like his, that was like,
dude, all I remember is like jump kick, shirt grab, punch, something like that. Like jump kick, shirt grab, punch.
Did he charge it up? Like he ran onto a desk and like jumped and did like a.
And so, you know, that part was funny in itself because then, of course, like Infinite kind of realized that he got his ass kicked. He's like, "Yo, man, I'm sorry, bro. I love you. I got your back and shit." But that didn't matter to ESWC. They kicked him out, right? Well, the problem was is that we're on this place called the Futuroscope in France. Like it's in the middle of frickin' France. Like there is the Futuroscope, and then there's nothing else. So they kicked him out of the event. And he had nowhere to go. So he basically snuck back on to the campus of the Futuroscope and was running from security for the remaining 2 days until he finally went back to the airport. And I mean, it was the most bizarre thing ever. They wouldn't let him back in the dorms. He was not supposed to be on the campus. And you would just see him like ninjing across like some area, just like fucking one guy chasing after him. And he'd be like, wait. And he was loving every second of it. But he was,
I mean, yeah, what else are you going to do? By the way, Kelby threw me a message as we were talking about all this. And he said, he just started some new anti-anxiety meds for the tournament, and after I left to go take a nap, he had a few more beers, and apparently mixing beers and anti-anxiety meds is, like, real bad.
Probably not good.
Before medication and alcohol doesn't...
Yeah.
Well, you
so
know
I
what?
Guess he just, really? He just got really, really messed up off, like, a few beers, and...
Props to him.
He's a small dude, but he can handle a couple beers, so...
At least
I believe it.
At least he, you know... said something to you. What?
He was like, oh god, you guys are making me look terrible. Here's the real story.
You know, on the same note, I found out that if you are smoking a cigarette while having a random freak gasoline fight.
Well, wait a second. Are you saying that I can't smoke cigarettes when I have random gasoline fights? It's a good thing I don't smoke anymore, Joel.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's just move on.
What's that movie where that guy, like...
Zoolander?
Lights the gasoline pump on fire. No, no, it's like an old, old movie about, like, surfers.
Well, you know, who cares? It's not as good as Zoolander.
Point Break is a great movie. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Point Break,
before
really?
We fall further into
so old school.
Taylor's terrible movie taste.
Wait, hold on. Jeff, he does have
a
point.
There's,
like, a 20-minute free-fall action scene in that movie, which is remarkable.
Exactly.
Man, the last time I jumped out of a airplane and it lasted 90 seconds, I was like, how high was Keanu and Patrick Swayze? All right, no one's seen that movie, so I'll just keep going now. What were you saying, Jeff, before we dive too far into the depths of Taylor's movie preferences? You were going to say
hey, whatever,
something.
You've seen them all too, Wheat. Get out of here. Dark Crystal.
If I say anything, it was just my little...
My bad. You're just...
My little joke.
You're just poking fun at Taylor. So, any big news this week? How's training going? How's playing going? What's pissing you off? What's making you happy? Anything at all?
MVP is a boss. Other than that, not too much going on.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy about that. Someone finally used skills.
I'm sure you guys really are.
This was versus this is versus July Zerg, right?
I had to bring it up. I'm sorry.
No. I haven't seen it yet. So enlighten me. Tell me, because Itter, you've actually mentioned it a ton on the show. Like, I don't know why Terran aren't using more ghosts against Zerg.
I didn't even watch the games because I imagine Joel didn't put up a fight, but apparently he just sat on half map and made like 30 ghosts.
It was really? A beautiful
and
thing.
Destroyed everything.
And like EMP'd or sniped?
Sniped.
I think mostly sniped, but
no
EMP'd
shit.
There
too. Just like constant sniping, like sniping.
Dude, I have to admit,
sniping.
As much as I hate like to see my stuff get sniped, it does have like the fucking coolest sound of any game
pew,
ever.
Pew, pew.
It is so
awesome.
Good. It is so good. It's like you hear it, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh my god, who's getting
you know what actually sounds
right now?"
In my opinion, what sounds cooler than the snipe is the regular fire from the sniper from the ghost.
It's
yeah,
too
that's
slow.
Yeah.
Cool.
The casing hit the ground, and it like. Just sounds powerful and shit.
The actual ghost snipe sounds like a bunch of Amazons like running around with poison dart guns, just blow darting all the Zerg units. But they're really good against Ultras and Broodlords. And MVP finally showed people how to use them. But like, to be fair, Greg, I don't know if you agree with this. I feel like July played that unit comp really poorly. Like, he only had two Infestors.
But like I said, I didn't watch the games because July's, July's not going
to
put up a fight to MVP no matter
games.
What.
Taylor just said it. Two Infestors.
Yeah.
He only
no,
made two Infestors.
I noticed that in July versus Ryung, he didn't really use Infestors. Yeah. Like,
dude, none of the.
Was pretty cool, but.
None of the Code S Korean Zergs, from what I've seen, play like a heavy Infestor style. And it's mind boggling to me. Like, why not?
Versus Terran, I can kind of understand, especially if you're not going Broodlord, because he goes ultra heavy.
They're so good.
Maybe. But
it's
no,
like
versus Protoss.
Super intense Bond chase scene, and he runs into a parking garage, and there's like a Maserati, a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, and then he's like running, and he gets in the Volkswagen, and just tears out, and they're like, fuck the Infestor, man. There's shit that I could use, too. It's like,
did you guys happen to see the snipe chart?
Yeah, I've seen it. With like it lines, it has like multiple crosshairs for how many snipes it takes.
There's actually two of them that were released. This is the first snipe chart. I'll bring it up over here.
Make sure you link us too in chat. I don't know.
I'm gonna have to do. If you go to starcraft.reddit.com and look up snipe chart, it is kind of cool though. And I like how it's totally condescending it says the snipe chart. For a measly 25 energy, a ghost deals 45 damage to one biological unit. Here are the number of snipes needed to dispatch each of the following units. And Delta Lad, or Dita Lad 11 made this on Reddit, but I like how he said, for a measly 25 energy, you could blow up all this shit. Anyway, for quick reference. So, who's not looking at it? Is anyone not looking? Okay, none of you guys are.
Have you seen the one with the stream sniper?
Yeah, that's the one. That was coming up next. So, do you know how many snipes it takes to kill a roach?
Four.
Wow,
five?
good call, Adrian.
So four.
All right, how many snipes does it take to kill a zealot?
Four.
Three.
Four. Oh, I kept you there. How many snipes does it take to kill another ghost?
Three.
Actually, I have no idea how much HP it
is. Isn't that like an immovable
straight.
Object, an unstoppable force, or is that... Do snipe work on them, or...
What happens if two ghosts snipe each other?
Can you rephrase the question? Why would they ever snipe each other? They're supposed to kill everything else.
I don't know.
They can't see each other because they're cloaked. So
it's a trick question. That's what
It totally was a trick question.
You're freaking me out here. Oh, wait. They EMP the ghosts.
And then double
And then
taps.
Snipe it.
Bap!
Okay. I was... Okay, I mean, we got to think outside the box.
Then we have over here the new... This one actually, guys, is called the Stream Snipe Chart. Mm. And it says, with a measly second monitor, a player like Deezer or Combat X can stream snipe a legitimate player. Here are the number of stream snipers needed to dispatch each of the following players. It shows, it does show Combat X with one snipe. It shows Destiny at 2.
Oh, is that what Combat X looks like, dude?
You are at 3 snipes. Miniguns at 4. Idra, you are at 5. MC's at 12 and Nestie's at 56. I don't know what that. I don't quite get it, but it was funny nonetheless. Yeah, kind of like bastards over there with that whole stream sniping bullshit. It sounds like it's getting really out of hand. Actually, do you guys?
People publish Deezer's identifier, so I think I've only heard of Destiny doing it so far. But he just gave the identifier to his entire stream. And told them to go spam him, and they did it, and he got disconnected. So
I heard about that.
Power to the people kind of thing.
I did, and then I heard that
Deezer is watching this, next time you do that to me, I will do the same thing. So fuck off.
Okay.
He doesn't watch shows.
Yeah, there's no way he's watching this.
The words are too many.
He's
like, must do some fucking bad strat in StarCraft. I shouldn't say that, dude. Because people emulate that shit, and then I run into it.
I'm not sure, but I think... I'm not even going to speak to this. I just be careful with that, because I guess you can get in trouble with Twitch, I think, if you use your fans to do stuff like that. I think you got threatened to get banned.
Let's do it through Twitter or something.
You know what? You need, but you know what?
Find a way to punish you, Greg.
In this case, Idra, you need to actually be good guy Greg. It's like, you just need to make sure that they're all sending him, like, you know,
I hope you have
a great day. Like, yes. I hope... You know, you find $20 on the street tomorrow. Because then, I mean, can you be held accountable for being nice to a guy? I don't think
so. No, I mean, the crappy part about it, though, if we're going to talk about stream sniping, is that there's this weird culture, too, where it's like when they beat you, it looks really bad for you. But they very much so are watching your stream when they play you, so they have a higher chance of doing that. And then if you black your screen to make them not able to see your stream so you can play an actual competitive game with them, people leave your stream because obviously they don't want to stare at a black screen.
Yeah, you lose tons of viewers.
So it hurts you fiscally, or it hurts you in terms of your reputation, because then they go around saying, I beat Idra 3-0 the other day.
I've totally done that. Just like taking down my stream. So I'm like, fuck it, dude. I want to kill this kid.
It's a bad place to be. And he's a couple of those guys are pretty malicious about it. Like, I guess Destiny can't play a game on the North American ladder without somebody... Without one of those guys just literally playing him over and over again. I know Greg queued him up like 4 times in a row the other day, so.
Deezer's the worst of them as far as I can tell.
He's just going to show up to a LAN and we're going to break his hands.
It's just like the level of maturity and lack of mutual respect between players that pisses me off. It's like, it's not even fun at that point. Like, yeah, sure, it's good to work on your Chizo meter when you're playing ladder a little bit. But when you queue someone like that, like 5-6 games in a row, it's just like, God, you just like want to kill yourself. It's not even fun.
Hey, if I could offer you guys a stream delay, like a really legitimate one where you could just like go into your XSplit and be like, "Yo, delay my shit by 1 minute."
It sucks though, cause then it's tough to interact with your crowd.
Yeah, right. I think those exist, but then it messes up commercials and talking in chat.
Gotcha.
I
understand like, too. Like in a lot of cases, take the same risk, but is it
what needs to happen? Is the organizations if Combat X or Deezer continue to do that kind of stuff, the streaming providers like Twitch need to not bother.
They can't do that though. Like, what on what grounds? Like,
well, actually, I think it's no different than an eating establishment. You know, if you're going to come in and piss on my floor, I can tell you that you can't eat at my establishment. I think it's. I don't. I don't think there's any like legal grounds that would hurt Twitch in that case.
Yeah, they're not obligated to give everyone a partnership. That's
I feel
fair.
Like at the end of the day, though, like so many people stream so much like weird, unique, goofy stuff that like I don't know.
I'm just saying, if someone uses their service specifically to like other people, quote unquote, then I think the organization is responsible for stepping in and saying you're not going to use our program to do.
Okay, so apparently the chat is exploding as well, saying, well, guys, Combat X has said in a YouTube video that he recorded with much sincerity that he is never, ever, ever going to stream cheat ever again. Like, how much weight do you put into something like that?
Look at who he is.
Why would lot of the fans are new to the StarCraft 2 community. Combat X has apologized over the years, dozens of times.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, the first... Like, back when I used to stream all the time, like, the first, you know, 10 times I played Combat X, like, he just cheesed every game. I wouldn't respond to him, because I had no idea who he was. Like, I knew about him from, like, the Brood War days, his little show match with Chill or whatever, back in the glory days of Combat X. I don't even care. But I played him a couple times, and he just straight up cheesed me. And then he just all of a sudden starts, like, in all caps, just like, F you, like, you're fucking retarded, da-da-da, your stream sucks, just going crazy. I never respond. I never pour fuel to the fire. And then eventually, just like out of the blue, like 2 months later, we queue on ladder. And he's just like, oh, hey, what's up, Pan User Man? Like, you know, I think you're really cool. Like, I'm really sorry for all that stuff before. Like, let's play a straight-up game. I promise I won't cheese you, blah, 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 blah. And I just didn't even respond. It's like, does he really think that after saying all that stuff? No, he played me straight up, but that doesn't even, I don't care. Like, after everything that he said and did to me, it's like, come on, man. You think I'm just going to brush it off my shoulder? It's like, I have absolutely no respect for you, dude. And there's really no way for you to earn it back. So
we've talked about this a few times. I mean, the fact that we have to talk about it is funny. Because there are a lot of
people. They get so much attention.
They're entertained. They're interested by it. So it's a talk subject. But
like, even people at my work who, like, follow all of us and, you know, love our casting and love our games, we'll be like, dude, did you see what Combat X and Deezer did to blah, blah, blah last night? And I'm like, no, I don't care. But, like, I guess it's pretty cool to people who don't really follow the game. You know, they love seeing that kind of stuff. It's just, ugh, it sucks. I just don't know what to do about it. It's like, you can't not talk about it, and talking about it just makes it worse. I don't know.
Then I have one of my students in the chat saying, even people like you have pissed off people. Sans Serif. As if that's, like, the same fucking thing.
It's completely different. I'm, like...
The scope is so weird that it evades people. Like, Destiny streams every day. That's how he makes his money. And he's got people DDoSing him for attention. He's got people, like, Deezer and Combat X literally, like, harassing his games, not letting him play other games, not letting him, like... No, it's not the same as me name-dropping a caster and people getting butthurt about it. It's actually them attacking people. So
yeah, I don't think Jeff's, like,
connect the dots.
Trying to, like, maliciously attack people. He just, like, speaks his mind, and if he steps on people's toes sometimes, whatever. I'm sure he stepped on my toes sometimes, but I don't care.
I got a big fucking mouth. I've opened it up too many times, many a time, but it's not, like, it's just weird to blur those lines like it's the same thing.
I agree.
Like, Greg and I arguing is not the same thing as me literally telling someone I'm going to kill them at a LAN. Like, I'm going to shoot them. That's weird.
It's weird.
People can't draw that distinction.
It's going to happen one day. Watch out.
Deezer told me, so you show
Serious
up to
business.
A LAN and shoot me in the head. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll go to Orlando with a bulletproof vest in the back of my head or something.
It's just like, at this point, I feel like they've dug such a, like, ridiculously deep hole for themselves. I just really hope that no teams pick them up as a publicity stunt or anything like that to get
Well, you know
users.
What? I actually do, to be honest. Because then they got to play by the rules, and then they have to show that they actually can play.
Or they can keep cheesing.
So.
Yeah.
Like, any team that picks them up is going to be doing it for their publicity because they're not actually good players. So... Like, the teams would just encourage that, because that's what gets the attention. It's not going to be a legitimate
team. I mean, you're probably right. You're probably
like,
right.
Like, no EG or Complexity or Mouse or whatever is going to pick up a player like that. It's going to be, I don't know, some joke team who just wants them for the attention.
I liked how you stayed generic.
You just said you're
going to
break
one,
his hands. Yeah.
A couple came to mind. But
he's going to shoot me that I'm going to break his hands at a lane. Fuck off. Like, it's not the same.
It's not the same. All right. So, you know, we've already gone a little bit here. I'll tell you what. We're just going to open up the phone lines and have a nice little chit-chat. With anyone who wants to call in and talk about anything, but we're going to take a quick commercial break before we do that, guys. So, get ready. We'll open up the phone lines. It'll be the help desk here on Inside the Game. We'll be right back. Before we open up the phone lines, I'm sorry to interrupt, guys. I didn't mean to interrupt. Before we open the phone lines, can I just declare how fucking stupid it is that they are going to remake Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
This bullshit was declared today.
This doesn't
fucking
matter.
Goddamn shame, man.
That are kind of scared about.
It's a goddamn shame.
They're making Blade Runner, man.
That's like almost as stupid as, you know, remaking Charlie and the
Chocolate. We're going to rewrite the Bible, guys.
Gene Wilder killed it, dude. Michael Keaton killed it. Why would you remake those movies?
Yeah,
Michael Keaton was awesome.
Like
Gene Wilder, awesome.
They put like fucking
sad day. You know what? There's one remake I rather enjoy. I think the A-Team is like top notch.
Oh, God.
I haven't even seen it.
For reals. It is solid fucking movie, dude.
The Batman remakes are amazing. They're not really remakes. So they're just kind of like reimaginations. Yeah. But that was...
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Bond ones. I like the new Bond. But that's not really... That's just them. The Bond series is like
a new
time
generic.
And space.
I don't know. That one...
Yeah, the new
Bond
series like generic action movies. Like they weren't Bondy.
Yeah.
I like them.
Bondish.
It's all about Sean Connery, dude. He was the... dude, for sure.
Like, best Bond character.
Pushing galore.
Taylor, are you ready to take some calls, Taylor?
Yeah, I'm ready to take some calls.
Let's take some calls here.
That's what your mother said, Rashna.
You'll rue the day you met me, Trebek. I'll take famous cities for 500.
Oh my god, that shit is some of the best.
Yeah, for sure.
They remake it Total Recall with Colin Farrell. Like, what kind of horse shit is that?
No. Are you kidding me?
What is Get Your Ass to Mars in it? Like, Irish? He's Irish, right? Like, and it used to be, like, Get Your Ass to Mars. But how's it going to be like, can anyone do Irish and do, like, so I can envision what seeing this movie?
Get Your Ass to Mars,
Get Your Ass to Mars.
Dude, the best line in that whole movie is when Arnold kills Benny. It's like, screw you, Benny. It's like, stabs him through the tank. That movie's awesome. I don't know how you can remake that Arnold. It's not doable.
The way Colin Farrell played Bullseye, though, in Daredevil. I mean, you guys laugh, but the creative control that he displayed, I think it rivals most top performances of the early 90s through the 2000s.
His, like, only decent movie is Minority Report. And that was just...
Say, he's in Minority Report?
Yeah, he's like the he's like young...
The
oh, right, right, right. Obviously, he was overshadowed to me by Tom Cruise's amazing performance, so...
Tom Cruise did a good job in that movie.
Weirdo, dude.
He had, like, three movies where he was fully batshit insane, but then he got a little bit more under control. Like, I'm excited about the new, fucking...
Is Minority Report pre or post insanity?
Minority Report was pre.
I'm pretty sure he's been, like, insane across the board.
Well, before officially? Oh, that was definitely pre.
Until he, like, shocked Oprah.
It was. It started right around the crazy movie that he... What was it? The Eyes, the Sino... Fuck, man. What was the crazy sex movie? What was it?
Steel Magnolia.
No.
What are you talking about, dude?
God damn it, the crazy sex movie that he did with his Eyes Wide Shut. Thank you. Damn it. That's when he officially started going crazy.
Oh, the chat's right. That I don't even know how you say it. In Bruges, whatever. Yeah, that was good. Colin Farrell was good in that. That was funny.
You got ready for the first call here? We got Wicked.
Good.
We got Wicked on the line. Wicked, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello, everyone. This question is to Idra specifically about ZVZ. I've been watching your streams recently when you were commentating, and you seem to be avoiding using roaches in ZVZ. You usually tend towards Zerglings, Balings, Mutas. Is there any reasoning why you avoid roach infestor styles?
Infestor Turtle is incredibly boring to play. I'm not sure if it's better than Mutas or not, but I'm just trying to play Mutas because I hope they are a valid option. Because I fucking hate Infestor Turtle.
Okay, fair enough. And another question.
I just want to say I'm glad you answer that way, Adrian, because honestly, that's exactly how I feel. That's why I think I hate to play every single ZVZ right now.
It's really strong. It's just so incredibly boring, and I don't know. It's hard for me to focus in games like that because nothing happens until the obnoxiousness starts. It's, like, hard to get into it.
I hear you, brother. I don't even like watching those games, so...
I get you. What was your other question, dude?
My other question is about Idris' stream once again. You recently started commentating, and you included the webcam as well. Is there any kind of reason, motivation behind that, or is just, like, let's do it like that?
Everyone in the house kept yelling at me because I'm retarded, because I get, like, 18,000 viewers when I do commentary and webcam, so I finally caved in.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good one, dude.
Have a nice show. Thank
Peace.
You. Yeah.
Do Jeff or Taylor, do you guys... Taylor, you don't stream that much, do you?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. You're like, I'm a pretty private guy. I can't be having that shit going on.
No, I can stream. It's just like...
Work and stuff.
It's not... Yeah, it's not like my primary source of revenue. If it was, I would still stream all the time.
Right on. Jeff, you're streaming. Do you webcam it up?
Yeah.
You webcam
no,
it up?
No, I'm actually what they would call a technical retard, so I don't know how to do that kind of stuff just yet. But if Greg can figure it, I know I can, so...
Scott told me I know, but you actually
Damn
have to make...
It.
If it makes
like
you feel any better, Scott had to call me to figure out how to make it work for you, Idra, so...
I still
win.
Haven't done that part. I still haven't done that part. It's still placed weirdly. I just have it like in the middle of the bottom.
Okay. I know Scott's going to get angry
soon.
At me right now.
I know people like webcam. I do commentating. I've been doing that for a long time while I stream, so
yeah.
That's the important part.
Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes get conscious when I have recently put the little cam in the corner as well. And I know I probably do some weird shit like the weird, you know, mouth and lip shit when I'm playing, like start breathing really heavily and shit. I don't know.
The Michael Jordan of StarCraft 2, just like...
Yeah. Something like that. Let's take the next caller. We got Lawrence on the line. Lawrence, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello?
Hello, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Hey.
I had... Oh, God.
Well, that means
EG or him?
I've been listening to the EG dog all day for the last 2 days, man.
What's
I had a
up,
question
Lawrence?
For Idra, actually.
Sure.
If I could, I'd kill it if I could. I'd break it like this. I'd just snap it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, like, man. This. Like
fucking yeah, I had a question for Idra about ZVP. On the ret style, like three hatch or four hatch before gas, what after you get that economy laid and after you get everything set up, how do you determine your unit composition, whether it's roachlings, infestors? How do you decide whether you're going to be aggressive or passive and what unit composition you're using?
You almost always have to start out with roachling because you get really late gas with that, so you're really mineral heavy, and the only thing you can actually use that much production on is roachling at that point. And then generally you switch to infestors just because infestors are like the only thing that are good CVP. And they're so good, like, why wouldn't you make them? And then beyond that, there's really not that much variation. You're just trying to get to infestors and trying to get to a hive tech with a bunch of infestors.
Okay, and do you choose? Do you always choose broodlords, or do you go broodlords or infestors, or broodlords or ultras?
Usually broodlords, but you got to turtle really hard with broodlords, and I think ultras might get better after this patch, or at least switching between them. But right now, broodlords.
Cool. That's my question. Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You, Lawrence. Have a good one. Peace.
Yeah, dude, ultras are pretty good, man. I feel like this next patch is going to be.
I think they're going to make. They're going to become really good ZVT. If you have high econ switching back and forth, yeah. Is sick.
They're pretty burly, man.
Wait until...
People weren't using them for a long time, but now that they are, a lot of the Korean Zergs are pooling a ton of resources late game, and they're just, boom.
Calling down the thunder.
Like 10 ultras, what's up?
I like it. All right, let's see. Let's take a phone caller here. We've got area code 253 on the line. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Got a quick question. I don't know if you guys have seen the article that was on IGN about the extinction of Western StarCraft 2 players. Did you guys read that?
Did you email in today about this article?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, I took a wild guess because sometimes like 18,000 people will
Is this IGN
thing,
proper or IPL?
It was by Frank, I believe. Is that
Josh
correct?
Was on Team Liquid.
Sorry?
It was by Frank, right? I'm trying to find it so I can bring it
up. Can somebody
link
it to me? Yeah.
Yeah, it was on IGN PC. There's a thread about it on Team Liquid now too.
Yo, Josh.
Discussing it.
All right.
Can you link me to the StarCraft 2 like extinction of
like Taylor needs some help. Hey man, I don't know how to use Google, bro. Can you just like
Hey Jossy.
And I've got the link.
No, what was it called? What was it called again?
It's called, well, on, if you go to TL, it's Extinction of Foreign Players, and on IGN it says StarCraft II and the Extinction of Foreign Players.
Gotcha. I got it here.
I read it as
a
sensationalist title with kind of weird concept that might apply.
All right, so what's your thoughts on it, caller? Or you want to break it down a little bit here?
Well, it's, it really is just about, the Korean success and all the Western tournaments and, you know, it goes on to say that foreigners can't keep up and how foreigners eventually destined, you know, in the writer's opinion, the foreigners are destined to, essentially become second-rate players to the Koreans. So my first question is, what do you guys think about that? Do you think that that is, you know, a possibility? And then also, you know, what can Western players do to catch up?
Anybody
wants
to
tackle
that?
It?
I mean... Go for it.
It's the infrastructure. Korean players, they're more dedicated. They practice more on the whole. There are some foreign players who practice as much. But then the Koreans also have, you know, tens, hundreds of other Koreans on a similar level. We're all working that hard, and they all practice together. They all talk about the game a lot. They have way better practice than us, and they work a lot harder at it. So, of course, they're going to be better.
Sure.
I don't see that changing completely. I think Koreans will always be... the lion's share of the best, but with more and more foreigners going over to Korea and working harder at it, I think you'll definitely see some foreign players up. It won't be like StarCraft 1 where it's literally top 50 are Korean and then maybe one or two below that.
I agree fully. I mean, it's just the number, like, when I play on the North American ladder, the amount of people that are playing on that ladder to actually practice and try to get better is like 1 in 5, 1 in 10, something like that. But on the
I
wouldn't
say
ladders,
it's even that.
It's not good, but on Korean ladder, it's 4 out of 5. It's 9 out of 10 type of stuff. So, you know, I got planetary rushed the other day on my stream. Yesterday, actually. That's not the guy sitting there trying to get better. It's him like, I have this idea that might work, and it'd be kind of funny. So he tried it, and, you know, just stuff like that. But also, Koreans, like, they're trying to elevate their game all the time. They're, like Greg said, they're working harder. But it's not just that they're putting in more time. It's that they're actually, I mean, just point in fact, just working harder. They're addressing points in their game that's lacking. They're seeking out people that know better. It's like an educational pursuit for them, whereas for us, it's a fun pastime that
is it changing,
would be better
though?
To get better at.
Isn't it changing a little bit, guys?
Yeah, but...
Kind of.
No. I mean, what Greg said is awesome.
Long way to
like,
go.
In Brood War,
yeah.
It wasn't top 50 that were Koreans. It was top, like, 150. And then it would be two or three kind of non-Koreans that you would consider up there. And then other than that, they got obliterated. And in StarCraft II, I don't see that being the case because the level of skill that it takes to be at the top level of StarCraft II isn't as high as it was for Brood War. But also, there's more people, more money, more infrastructure that can send players to Korea. We have more in Korea now, and we'll have more in Korea than we ever have.
I think, like, the super important thing is that I don't think that Korean players are, like, intellectually superior or, like, inherently better. I think, as a whole, they just churn out so many games, and they have such a high rate of turnover on practice, build orders, the metagame. It's like, way, way ahead, and they just churn out so many games that they evolve much faster than we do, and I think it takes, like, a foreigner with a really special intellect and a lot of dedication to compete with them. So you will see foreigners competing with them, but, like, as a whole, we're going to have to go through that whole evolution that EG is just starting, like, right now. The Koreans have been doing this for years. They just built the first legitimate team house here in the U.S., and they haven't even figured that whole thing out yet. But I think bringing Koreans over here and training with us is probably a good start. And then I think maybe a couple years down the line, you're going to see a huge dip. Like, the Koreans are just going to dominate like they have been for a while, and then hopefully foreigners will be able to catch back up if more teams do what EG's doing. That's what I think.
Caller, let me ask you this. As a spectator and a fan of StarCraft II, does it matter?
You know, for me personally, like, I mean, I like to see the Koreans, you know, because they are, you know, they are the better players right now. But to be honest, I'm just such a huge fan of the Western scene and all of you guys and all of the Western pros that, you know, like, for example, with the NASL not having the Korean invites, that doesn't make me personally want to watch the NASL less. Like, I think that the foreign players are really good and still put on, you know, incredible competition. And so to me personally, like, I will still watch all of the Western stuff with or without the Koreans. You know, it would be cool to be able to say that foreigners and Koreans are on the same level so that you can have that, you know, really competitive, international, especially with Korea, you know, those kinds of tournaments, and you can see the foreigners really going toe-to-toe with the Koreans. And so my last question to you guys is, do you think that, you know, having houses like the EG House or like the house in Sweden, or, you know, I know Team Rain is putting a house together in San Francisco. Is that, you know, is that enough? Is that going to be something that can that will get foreigners back into it? Or, you know, is it just the combination of that and the lack of competition on a ladder? Or, you know, I mean, is that going to be enough?
For now, you have to be in Korea. In the future, maybe. If you have all these people go over to Korea and get good and then come back and then all the good people keep playing each other and they bring in new talent and start practicing with them. But honestly, I don't think you're going to see that kind of concern.
Years.
Foreigners. Yeah, it's going to take a long ass time.
Years.
For now, you have to be in Korea to be top.
You know,
five.
But there's one thing that I think I absolutely agree with as far as the caller is concerned, is that he said that there, in a lot of instances, it doesn't stop him from watching the people who he is a fan of in the Western or in the foreign world. And I'm the same way. I think that I have invested so much into the beta and the retail into the first year that I do have my favorite foreign, you know, players. And I do love watching certain North American players play and certain European players play, maybe even more so than some of the Koreans. And I think that that was something that was missing in Brood War, or certainly wasn't as... it hadn't blossomed as much. And so I think it's hard to just erase that, you know?
Yeah. For me, it's like I've kind of the... By the way, great question, caller. I don't know your username, but props. For me, it's like with the IPL, now that we have all of the top Koreans going through our qualifiers, the level of the games, just as a commentator and a competitive player, it's not even close. Like, I am so much more into it now, and the quality of games and the level of games has just blown through the roof compared to our first couple seasons. And I have my favorite Western players too. Like, there's players that I love, but I mean, as a whole, even as a spectator, it's just, it's so much better.
But you say as a spectator, but you're a competitive player too. You have a lot more experience with the game.
Yeah.
99% of the spectators. Yeah. A lot of people aren't going to see those differences, or they're not going to matter nearly as much.
Yeah. That's right. Why I was going to ask him what level he, like, I was going to ask the caller what level he was, because for me, it's like night and day.
Honestly, I think even up to most Grandmasters players, it's not going to matter that much.
I was going to ask, like, what level you play at.
What was the question?
What level are you at, caller? What, like, what's your league level?
Oh, I play, gold platinum, pretty much.
Okay.
That's where I've been since beta. I mean, I'm not a very, I don't really ladder consistently at all. I like to get on and I play some customs with friends, and, I usually play my placement matches and pick gold or platinum.
I think a vast majority of viewers are probably on that level, too, to be honest.
Well, and there's also the whole underdog, thing, which is
definitely
we'll never be tired of in sports, but anyway.
And it's not that I don't, enjoy watching Koreans, because I absolutely do. You're right, pain user, that I'm not going to be able to discern all of the little nuances that, is really separating the Koreans from the foreigners right now. So, maybe for the mass consumption, it's not a huge deal, but, whereas you can see that.
Well, eventually you will, buddy.
Yep. Eventually. Cool. Well, hey, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one. Peace out.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to have a special guest on now. We've got my co-host of Kings of Ten. We've got Chris Wax, Steven, Ian Eddy. What is up, buddy? What's
going on, guys? How you doing?
Why you're on the wrong show.
Oh, man, I haven't talked to you in forever since Kings of Ten, dude. What's up, man?
Hi, my name is Wax, Steven. I'm High Ten, and I have a question for all you guys, actually. It's a two-part question. It's kind of feeding off what the last guy called in about. It's in regards to the way that players play in Korea versus the way that players play in the rest of the world. In regards to, they have coaches. Where do you think coaches factor in the whole competitive aspect of the way Koreans play, and how much do they help? I mean, I guess a lot of this is directed at Idra, because he was, he was over there for so long, and he was on a Korean team in Brood War. But I guess I just want to kind of get everybody's opinion on that. I mean, do you think that's something that's missing?
Yes.
It's not so much the fact that they are a coach. It's just get any player, any person with knowledgeable experience with the game to watch you and tell you what they think you're doing wrong. That will serve the same purpose. Koreans happen to have dedicated coaches, but like here, we watch each other play. We tell each other what we think we're doing wrong, and that serves the exact same function. It's just in Korean teams, they had an older person who didn't really play anymore who had that authority. That was his specific job.
All right, then let me ask you this, Idra. Who's your motivator? Who's like, Idra, I know you lost that one, but God damn it, you're going to come back in the next one, and you're going to bring it home for Team Evil Geniuses. You're going to crush this fool. I mean, like, seriously.
I hate that shit so much.
Okay.
And that
comes out, he's like, dude, just
go
zip
away.
It. Go away. Okay.
Well, I mean, because the reason I ask is because I played on Alliance of Pain for a while, and I kind of in enemy territory, and I kind of played a role of player/coach. Like, I would go through and be like, hey, you fucked up here, you fucked up here, you fucked up here. What do you do, to fix this, basically, and, like, kind of address problems? Because I think it's important that players step back and look at themselves like they don't normally look at themselves and say, oh, I totally wasn't thinking that I am horrible against bunker rushes or, whatever. I'm just using it as an example, but Do you feel like you need that person that's not on the team per se to look at everybody objectively?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
You just need an outside perspective, I think.
Yeah, like for me, I think the lack of a coach is necessary because a coach is different than what me and Greg are talking about. I have kind of a similar thing to Greg where, like, me and Sickness and Natagas have been playing games together since we were kids, and we've always lived right next to each other. So we just LAN and play and talk all the time. And we have three different perspectives. We go over different timings and all the matchups, when we should be scouting for certain things. Like, we really, really break it down. And without those two guys, honestly, I don't think I'd be, like, half the player I am today. I attribute a lot of my success in terms of strategy and a lot of my, like, timings and builds and stuff, I would attribute to working things out and working kinks out with them. So having a coach would be awesome if it was somebody who was actually good, who knew what they were talking about. If it was just somebody who was like, I want to be a coach to be a coach, then I don't think it would work at all.
Jeff, we haven't heard from you on this. I'm curious.
I think for EG specifically, we definitely have... We know each other. We've been with each other for a long time. And even the people that we newly acquired, like Huck and Puma, certainly Puma has quickly kind of fallen under the umbrella of we're comfortable talking with each other about what we can do and can't do and what we should be thinking about. Some players are more comfortable than others. Greg would be one of the guys who you would not talk to after you just lost a game and maybe say, have you thought about doing this and that? The Muslim, on the other hand, is almost always open to hearing from anybody what he thinks he needs to work on and is very okay with that.
And in what way is Mouse broke this time?
Yeah. So what's really different and an important thing to look at and getting to your question is that it's one thing for your peers or players to say, here's what I think you need to work on, but there's always going to be that uncomfortable notion that this is a person that should be your equal, or for us StarCraft players, oftentimes we view them as a lesser because we're just competitors. We need to think we're better than everybody. And in Korea, or hopefully maybe in the West, there's people who have a role of authority where when they say something, it's not as your peer, it's not as your equal, it's not as a competitor, it's as your coach, as a person who's like, I've noticed that you're not doing this as well. I'm not a player. I'm not a competitor. I have nothing to gain from me giving you bad advice. Here's what you need to do better. And in that authority and in that disconnect of I might compete against that person or they're my equal, that kind of advice gets to them better. So in the Western scene, like for Team EG, I would consider myself probably one of the coaches or one of the people that helps other people their game. But to a certain extent, I always know that my advice and what we talk about isn't taken completely serious or taken, you know, as a selfless act because I very well could then face the Muslim in a tournament. And I'm not giving them bad advice, but there's always that feeling in the background. You know what I mean? So
I want to ask a counter question then to base off of what Wack has asked here. If you could take any player, I want each of you to answer this. If you could take any player or any person, anyone at all, to like be your personal coach, if they are a current player, you could be like, you're no longer playing, you are my personal coach. Does anyone come to mind that you would like to have like right there basically dedicated to helping you in that capacity? Pain user?
Absolutely, dude. Natagast.
Okay.
He is like my little Artosis Jr.
Okay.
Idra? He's the man.
Anyone?
Savior.
Okay. Interesting. Jeff?
I'd go with the Muslim.
Interesting. Right on. All right.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, Wax Steven, thank you for your call, sir.
Always. Always a pleasure, fellas.
Take care. Peace. I like that.
It helps so much. It really does.
You just need like a webcam, coach.
Having somebody right there behind you just during games to go over timings and like little like mental ticks that you need to establish. So nice.
All right, let's take another one here. Some decent calls tonight. Good job, guys. You haven't been failing us. We got area code. No, we don't. I spoke too soon. God damn it. We got area code 206. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, guys. I'm a big fan. Real quick, first off, I just want to thank you, DJ Week, for going 2 weeks ago to the Seattle Barcraft. Got to meet you there. It was insane. Be able to meet you.
I was glad to meet you too, dude. I noticed the
206.
What's that? Yeah.
425.
I had a blast, man. I had a blast. It's awesome.
Yeah. My question is mainly for Idra and Painuser. With the popularity of these Hellion openers, what do you think about going Roach Idra? And if he's committing to the Hellions, taking a fast third. And then off that, Painuser, what do you do when you see Roach openings? Do you think there's like a timing attack you can hit, or do you just stop producing Hellions?
If Serg opens Roaches, you just make any single unit, any combination of units you want, and then attack at 90 supply, and you kill them. Roaches are just terrible. They put you in a bad situation.
Hellions.
They're a really good way to defend early on, and then they leave you in almost unwinnable situation on most maps. If you can take a really safe double expansion off like four Roaches, then it's kind of okay. That's the only situation.
For me, I like to be super careful with my Hellions if I see him open Roach, because, I mean, you don't want to overcommit and just lose your Hellions. They're really nice for map control, too, and holding the Zelnagas. So just, like, take what you can get in terms of drones. But as soon as you see him committing to Roach, I drop, like, four Raxes immediately and get Stim and Conk and Combat Shield, and then I try and hit, like, a timing window with bio if I can, or a quick push with a few tanks and just mix it in like three or four marauders. You don't need to commit to marauders super heavy either, because like just a few marauders absolutely shred Roaches. You don't, like, it's bad to get too many of them. Marines are still really good against them too, so like just mix in like three or four and get a couple tanks and do a really early push, and that's pretty good. I feel like it works a lot.
That answer?
Yep.
All right.
You guys.
Thank you. Have a good one, man. Enjoy Chow Bistro. They got some fucking phenomenal food.
I really like the concepts behind a lot of the stuff on the menu, except for the Idra shot. Like, that's weak.
They could have done so much sucks. Better.
The changeling is the best one, in my opinion.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That shit's awesome. We got Nick on the line. Nick, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Good. In control, back in MLG Anaheim, Tyler showed really strong PvP with Zealot Archon early on, not a transition, and early on, defensive foregate into Zealot Archon. Why is that not cut on?
I mean, it's a great question. First and foremost, I would just say continue to experiment with it, because any opinion that I have on it's not coming from a perspective of like, oh, I've worked for hours and hours on that, you know, like... It's a new concept. It's something that a lot of people are not really working with. I think a big part of the reason why you won't see it quite as common is because right now, Blink Stalker is all the craze. And if you have a lot of melee units or short-range units like Archons, it's very easy to get into situations where you're not economically trading with them and, in fact, losing out dramatically. Be it Blink Stalker counters with Observer Spotting or just straight-up fighting where they blink back the Wounded Stalker. Unless you just have crazy angles, they miss control, or you achieve some kind of economic advantage, you're going to struggle against that composition, right? And also, charge is a longer upgrade than blink. Maybe after the patch won't be quite as bad. And then also getting to Archon requires that third building, either the Archives or the Dark Shrine. So there's going to be a period of vulnerability where they're making Blink Stalkers and you just have Zealots. And that's a really precarious place to be in a PvP, because... Like I always use this analogy, it's like preparing, it's like hoping it doesn't rain in Seattle. Like, why would you prepare, you know, why would you hope that it doesn't when it probably will?
Okay. Do you think the force field patch that they're going to do, well, essentially the vision up the ramp, I mean, will affect that at all?
I mean, it certainly could. I think it's going to really affect foregating. As far as Blink Stalker stuff is concerned, we're already not seeing quite as much of the aggressive blink up your ramp, come after you kind of stuff, just because if you do go a robo build, you're going to have that immortal, and if the other guy's going blink stalker, you want to be really careful about an aggressive all-out blink up, because now you've expelled your blink, and they can use their blink to get away their wounded units, right? So I don't know that it'll necessarily affect it too much, because you should have observers in that situation anyways.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for your call. And, you know, off of that call, I mean, why hasn't the Mass Phoenix versus Zerg got on?
People were using it for a little bit, I think.
No, it's actually like a hard counter to two-base infestor, because as long as you spread them out, the infestors aren't they aren't efficient.
That's good.
And it's really hard to take a third then. It's like
I saw
really
MC using that for a while, right?
The last time I saw it used was, I think, Tyler versus Haypro, and unfortunately it didn't work out too good for Tyler.
If you have a third base, it's not good. But two-base infestor is getting real popular, and it's really good for set.
It's really good, quote-unquote, if everything goes right. The problem with the Phoenix is that it's a very unforgiving composition. Like, they naturally want to get together, so you have to continually spread them out. But also, if you're just flying and they just catch you, they just fucking catch you. Like, for whatever reason, the infestor's there. Like, you're off killing overlords, trying to have fun, maybe looking for a Zergling or two, and an infestor pops up and fungles you, they're gone. They're gone forever. So it's very unforgiving, and that's why a lot of people don't like to go that route.
Very unforgiving, dude. All right, we got a few more minutes here. Enough time for a couple more calls. Let's take this one. We got Wyatt on the line. Wyatt, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello.
Hello, Wyatt.
How's it going?
Going good,
man.
How's it
going?
What's up?
I just have a general question about how the community is going, where today we see a lot of pros that came from games like Warcraft 3 or Starcraft 1 and stuff like that. When are we going to start seeing that never came from a game, that were just kind of played Starcraft 2 and then they became a pro or became really good or something like that?
I'm sure there are a few.
Wait, what was the question?
The
question was basically like, we've seen StarCraft 1, we see Brood War guys play StarCraft 2. Like, do we have any players out there that came from no RTS background? Yeah, I mean.
Me?
Pain User played SimCity and Dora the Explorer.
Quake!
Damn it. I played SimCity for sure. Yep. Civilization. I don't think that's really count, though.
TLO comes from a mostly, what's that game
you
called?
Command and Conquer.
No,
Supreme Commander.
Does someone have a llama in there?
I'm sorry about that, guys. Something's going on upstairs. I can't really
I definitely didn't come from zero RTS background, though. Like, I played all the Command and Conquers. I played Brood War. I played Warcraft 1, 2, 3, just not like, I never got competitive until IC Cup.
StarCraft on the N64.
No. I wouldn't even touch that, man. Ever.
Minigun came from FPS, says Vane.
Supposedly Minigun came from an FPS. There's a couple others. Kiwikaki came from poker.
Kiwikaki was a Warcraft 3 player.
Guys. Come on. Like, the guy in the $6,000 suit is going to make a joke he doesn't know about. Come on.
What did Kiwi place at Raleigh? Off the top. Does anybody know, like, off the top?
It's like, he was top 10, I believe.
Yeah, dude. He was killing nerds.
He made a lot of stalkers off of two bases. It was really good.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, internet. Oh, God.
Oh, wait.
Oh, shit. He's bashing his head.
They're out there, man. They're out there.
One troll at a time.
Just got to find them. All right. Thanks, Wyatt, for your call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Peace. All right. I guess. All right. Let's take this one here. Probably got a couple more. We got area code 928. Welcome to Inside the Game. What is up?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I just had a quick question regarding the Combat X stuff that's been going on.
Oh boy!
I was wondering if you think it would be good for the gaming community and possibly even society in general if someone were to murder Combat X, IRL.
That's like, haven't you heard any of those old proverbs, man? I know there's one.
What, do unto others as you would have them do unto you?
I know there's one, man.
If you don't have anything
treat
nice to say, don't say anything
you'd
at all.
Like to be treated. If you don't have it, yeah, there it is. I mean,
yeah,
it just
not
make
worth
any sense.
It.
It's not worth it.
I think that that guy actually thought it might be funny to call in and ask that question, but he quickly disconnected the moment he realized, oh, God.
Jimmy, I did it. I asked him.
I've got your phone number now, man. I am going to be sending it off to the proper authorities and be like, this guy threatened his life.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do combat acts in favor. I'm not worried about it.
All right, you're not worried either. Okay. This is a have-to-answer caller. We've got Mech Jesus on the line. Hello, welcome inside the game.
Great name.
Hi, guys. I just had a quick question for you. I was wondering, what do you guys think about Westerners buying a Southeast Asia account in order to get better? Is it viable or is the lag too much? Because, I mean, everyone says, you know, you have to play against the Koreans to get better. I mean, and once you get up into Diamond or Masters, where are they supposed to go from there?
Sure, you already do it, don't you?
Koreans don't play on Southeast Asia. They play on Korea. But just asking if it's worth it, the lag is pretty bad for most places. It just depends on the internet. It's really variable.
I think with the C account, you can play both ladders. Is that why you're saying that, though?
You can't play on Korea. C, in the beta, like, you can play both C and North America. I don't know if that's the case. Definitely not Korea.
Did he hang up? Are you gone?
No, I'm still here.
No, he's still here.
Did
they merge SEA and Korea at some point?
No, they...
I don't think so.
Yeah, they merged Taiwan and China, Russia, Europe, and the Americas. I don't think... Korea and China merged.
Connected to Korea. Yeah.
But don't Korean you have access to some Korean accounts?
Yeah, I have the Korean account I used when I was there. I don't play it much because the latency is so bad.
Is it so bad?
I'm really sensitive about latency, though.
Why would you?
I know some players that do it and say that it's great practice. So, I don't know. I guess it depends on if you can deal with it or not.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
All right. Word. Thank you, sir. Mech Jesus, man. Fucking robotic Jesus.
Yeah, who is the Mech Jesus? Optimus?
I don't know, man.
Megatron?
I'm gonna answer this call, and I'm probably going to regret it. But we've got WheatFan420 on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's
hey.
Up?
I just had a question for Adrian in control, I guess. Basically, if you're scouting a Protoss going Forge Fast Expand, and there's no possibility for you to take a third because of rocks or something, what's the best response for that? Because putting up a two-base Zerg economy against a two-base Protoss is not the best way you want to go into a late-game macro. So what do you do?
Two-base Infestor and double expand behind it. Or you can do some kind of cheese, like Hydronitis or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
yeah, I've been doing the two-base Infestor, and most of the times it works. But, yeah, like, it's a
that seems to be the best option. It's not a good situation, but yeah.
A lot of Zergs are even less severe than that. They actually just they go speedling expand, and then they get a faster plus one. And you should already have about 20 some odd Zerglings for countering anyways. And then you can just clear the rocks at one of the thirds and take that. It's a delayed third for sure. It's not as awesome as not having the rocks there. It does take time, and the Zerglings would be better used somewhere else. But the moment of... I mean, it's awesome to have plus one links and a plus two, and then you get a third fairly regularly, and you're able to counter.
I like having the threat of the tech behind it to back up the later third, though, because then Protoss has to be a lot more careful when they take their own third. I think it's worthwhile to get a tech. But yeah, both options can work.
And what would I expect like from a Protoss? Like, if he scouts my infestation pit and stuff like that, what do you expect from Protoss to do, and like, how do you respond to that?
Phoenix, if they want to try and be obnoxious. Templar tech, if they want to be like more standard.
And Colossus, if they want to...
In a less abrasive way, I would just say on most maps that have rocks at a third anyways, they're going to open up Stargate because they feel like if you try to take that third or put a third somewhere where the rocks aren't, you'll be vulnerable to any kind of Void Ray opening. So they'll have a Stargate as... like I think they'll do that before they see your infestation pit is what I'm trying to get at.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a good one, man. Peace. WheatFan420. All right. Let's take our last call so we can actually end on time. And since it's our last call, you guys already know who it is. Now, Idra, you know, I would even have to say that Goatlust has been kind of focusing a lot of his questions towards you.
Oh yeah, he's
over
a,
the last three or four shows. Oh, I'm not.
You noticed that? We.
I'm not. What?
So,
did you notice it? So let's find out.
Tell me.
Actually, it's in my streaming notebook.
You've been losing a lot of games recently
against those aliens.
Oh, so you guys noticed that too.
You lost a game before you even played it one time.
So we're gonna find out what Goat Lust has tonight. All right. And then let's do it. Hello, Goat Lust. Welcome to Inside the Game.
G'day, guys.
What is up? Right.
My question actually wasn't so much directed at Greg this week.
Oh, okay.
Would you fucking believe it?
Wait.
Would you fucking believe it?
What?
The question I was going to ask was about that Korean domination and all that sort of stuff that the guy said earlier.
Thanks
about,
for calling,
and
Goat
that
Lust.
Was actually
okay,
my
so...
question for that I prepared for last week when the Skype fell through. So bit of bad luck there.
Right.
But I'm just wondering what you guys think should happen come Heart of the Swarm, what sort of things you'd like to see, not so much new units wise, but more things that perhaps should have happened in Wings of Liberty that just sort of got left out because the competitive scene sort of started up and they couldn't make real big changes. I mean,
does anyone want to take that?
I'm not entirely sure, but
I mean, like, how Hydras, they're not such a quintessential unit anymore. You know, Zerg doesn't even have a one supply unit except the drone.
Well, the whole one supply unit thing is silly. It's just that's irrelevant. If units work within the game, they work within the game. But